afternoon. So, appreciate all of you taking the time to come out this afternoon as we honor, we remember, and we celebrate the life of Bill Gass. On behalf of the family, I want to say a heartfelt thank you for coming and supporting them. You guys are loved. You are. And thank you for the many prayers that you've been just lifting up this family. At this time, I'd like to just start the service going before our Heavenly Father. Would you join me? Heavenly Father, we gather this afternoon for a somber event as we remember the life of a man deeply loved. And God, as we gather today, we grieve. And God, you have said there's a time for grieving. And Lord, I want to lift up this family in a very special way. God, I want to lift up Gigi to you and just ask that you would embrace her through this time. Lord, as we pause today to remember a friend, a brother, a husband, a father, grandfather, great-grandfather, God, we also gather together to remember a man of God. And with that, there is hope. So God, we're coming to you now, asking for your comfort, your strength, as we have this service today. And God, would you just tell Bill just how much he is loved and that we miss him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The family has asked that we begin this service with a song. Interesting that we can come in the memory of one's passing, yet there can be a song on the heart. And so we are going to sing the song, Amazing Grace, is what they asked for. Amazing Grace, if you're ones that like to use the hymnal, it's hymn number 343. But would ask that you join along with me so I'm not doing a solo up here. That'd be great, but Julia, would you start us off? Feel free to stand if you would like. Thank you. The family has indicated to me that there's a few who would like to share, and so we're going to have them come and do that. For the rest of you who, there we go, I'll turn that off for you. For the rest of you that I'm sure have some memory or just something you would like to share with the family, we are going to have a fellowship time just after the service here that I'm sure the family would appreciate hearing and just be encouraged with. So who is the first family member? There you go.
Hey.
I'll take that for you.
I love my dad very much, and I love my family so much. My dad, he changed so much over the years. I can remember some memories. I can remember being at the Rose Parade with him and my mom and sister when I was just a little guy, and I just remember looking at my dad and just thinking, wow, you know, he's just a big, strong dad, you know. And I remember, you know, he was a churchgoer. He was Lutheran at the time, and come Sunday mornings, you know, about 8:30, I would just make sure to be really, really quiet. Because maybe he would oversleep and we wouldn't have to go, but he wouldn't. But we would get some donuts at Winchell's Donuts, and that was always a good memory. I remember this one memory. It was really with my mom, but my career as a thief didn't last that long. I decided one day at Alpha Beta to steal a fudgicle, and I got caught. And they brought me in to the office and called my mom, and my mom said, Jeff, if you ever do this again, I'm going to tell your dad. And I never stole again. I was cured. My dad was kind of a scary guy when you were little and you were on his bad side. And so he wanted to stay on his good side. I can remember I used to bug my sister a lot. It was really fun. I still do sometimes. But I can remember Lori would say, you know, she'd scream, Dad, Jeff's bugging me. And then I'd hear from downstairs, Jeff, you leave your sister alone. And I would leave her alone for a little while. I remember this one memory where I was 18, and I thought, you know, knew what was going on, and I wanted to buy this car, the Scirocco. It was really a sweet car, and it ended up where I signed a promissory note saying I would buy the car, and then we went on this trip, and we came back, and well, the financing had fallen through, and I was going to have to go with their financing, which means I would have really, really, it would have been bad. And so the only thing I could think to do was call my dad. And my dad talked to that guy, and I didn't end up having to take that car. My dad just told him some stuff, and I don't know, the guy wasn't thinking right or whatever. And my dad just said, well, good luck collecting a promissory note on a 17-year-old. And the guy just didn't do the math, I guess. And I walked out of that place without having to buy that car. And that was just my dad. He was like that. You know, he was a really good man. I remember one year, we were pretty serious about our faith. You know, we started and we bought him a Bible one year. He was a Christian long before we were, but, you know, we were kind of serious about it at the time. We bought him a Bible for his birthday, and I think he was like, oh, great. a Bible. Well, anyways, he ended up reading that Bible and reading that Bible and reading that Bible, and he became a different man. He truly did. He became a different man, and just my favorite psalm is Psalm 1, you know, and just if you meditate on the Word of God day and night, you know, God will just change you. He'll do big, big things in your life, and he's done big things in my life and big things in all these guys' lives, and I'm just so grateful to God, so grateful to God for my dad, my mom, my boys, and my girls, my grandbabies. I'm just so thankful. A couple weeks ago in the hospital, it definitely broke my heart and also made me smile because my mom and my dad were just, they just loved each other so much. My mom was just holding my dad's hand, and they were just looking at each other, and they just loved each other, and it meant so much to me. It meant so much to me that my mom and dad stayed married. Like anybody who's been married, it's rough. It's not for the faint of heart, you know, being married, and they stayed married, and they loved each other more in the end that they ever did in the beginning. They were so in love, and I'm just so thankful for that. So thankful for that love. So thankful for my mama. My dad said to me, I got there, I think Monday night, maybe Tuesday, I can't remember. I don't know, it's all kind of a blur. And my dad had been telling me that he was going to have Pastor Jed come over and do communion. And that was important to him. And then when I got there, he was kind of coherent. You know, we were actually chatting about the golf tournament, you know, because it had just ended that Monday morning because it went into extra holes. And we were chatting, and then he told me, he says, you know, Jeff, he says, my dad got communion right the day before he died. And I think in his mind, he was like, I have a feeling that's going to happen to me. And he was talking to me. He was fine. And then 4 or 5 hours later, he wasn't fine at all. And he had the communion. And sure enough, just like he thought it would happen to him, like his dad did, it did. He died on the very next day. And I was there. I was there with my mom and my sister. And we saw my daddy breathe his last. And anyways, I guess that's about all I have to say. I mean, what do you say? You know, what do you say about your dad on his funeral day? You know, I don't know. But thank you guys so much for coming. And I'm just so thankful.
Who wanted to share next?
Thank you so much to everybody for coming. My dad was and is in my heart still alive. And from the moment I was born, I loved him so much. He was the kind of man, when he walked into the room, I'd sit up a little taller and pay a little bit better attention. And he's taught me a lot of things through my lifetime. He's taught me how to work. He was an amazing guy at work. Everything he did it with all his heart. He loved his family with all his heart. He worked faithfully all his life with all his heart and everything he had to provide for his family. And he was a lot of fun for sure too, though. He knew how to live, but he knew how to love, and I love him so much. And I'm sorry, I'm not a great talker, and I didn't plan this too well, but I do want to say some things about my dad. What just a wonderful guy he always was, and a great dresser. And the last thing he taught me was not just how to work and how to be dedicated to the, but he also, I'm sorry, he did change a leaf in his life, in the middle of his life. First he worked hard and provided well, and then he dedicated his life to Jesus. And I saw my dad change, and he learned that scripture. Every day he was a very faithful man, and he knew it very well, all the scriptures, and he would read it and take it in. And he became a different person all the way to the end. And now he's taught me what it is to continue living and doing your best, to love and to laugh and to learn and to forgive people that hurt you, or forgive yourself and go on and live with gusto and run that race until you get to run into the arms of Jesus. And I saw my dad do that. And it was the most amazing experience of my life. And I am ever going to be grateful that God put me in a place where I could be there for him. And as he was always there for me. Thank you again so much for coming to honor my father. Thank you.
Hello, everybody. My name's Joshua. I'm Jeff's son and Bill's first grandson. I only knew Bill, my grandpa, as a very gentle, loving, sweet man. He was very caring, very loving, very intelligent, and he's helped me through some of the harder parts of my life. Did military for 20 years and ended up in an inpatient facility. I remember talking to him about some of my struggles and about my relationships with my family. And not only was he encouraging, and him and my grandma always pray for me every day, but my relationship with my grandpa also helped my relationship. He's very supportive, very loving, and just talking to him when I was there. He was very soft. He broke down, and we could just be broken together. I remember the most time I got to spend with my grandfather, I went down to Texas. He flew me down. I got to spend weeks with him and my grandmother just golfing every single day. We would come home after 18 holes, have a sandwich and a peach malt, and it was really good. First, I was not on board about a peach malt, but I became to, I would like, where's the peach malt, Grandpa? Or, I'm ready for it. It was a wonderful time. I'm very grateful for the time that I've had with my grandfather. I'm grateful that I was able to come up and see him before he passed. He would always check up on me every few days, every week, very consistently. He just wants to know how I'm doing, how my family's doing, a general concern for others, for his family. He's a very good man. Very grateful for him. I wanted to end this with just a scripture. So I'm going to read 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 7. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any troubles with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope is in you. Our hope in you is firm, because we know just that as you share in our sufferings, so you share in our comfort. I'm looking forward to giving him a big hug when I come to heaven. I wait to greet him again. So this isn't goodbye, it's just, I'll see you later. Thank you.
Was there any others? At this time, the family's put together a slideshow for us to see here, so.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue, clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. They learn much more. And I never knew, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Heard one of the grandkids go, Papa. You know, this last Tuesday, Bill passed from this life into the arms of his Savior. There's two dates that are on your memory card if you grabbed one as you came in. I always like to reference that, because the first date is when Bill entered into this life. And because of that, he impacted each one here in a very close way, some closer than others. And the last date there is not finality. It is a date that demonstrates that he went home with his Savior. Because in between those two dates, there is a dash. And in between there, Bill gave his life to Jesus Christ. I was thrilled when the family said, you know, when you share, can you please make sure you share the gospel message? Share about the Jesus that Bill loved. And Bill loved Christ. The verse that's in your card there is from Isaiah 40. That those that wait on the Lord will mount up with wings like eagles. And right now he's soaring. He's in heaven. He is living. He's truly living now because of that relationship with Jesus. It was that relationship with Jesus that allowed him to have a wonderful marriage. 66 years. What a blessing. What a testimony. And not only that, Christ was real, as you've already heard, in his family. His children, his grandchildren, his great-grandchildren. I love that everyone was able to be here today. And this is a legacy. And I encourage you to pass that legacy on that Bill has started in this family. Christ was a real part of Bill's life. I enjoyed some amazing conversations with him. A man of few words sometimes, but the words he got in would always draw others back to Christ. And, you know, even up to the very end, Bill was taking opportunities to share about his Christ right up to his last days in the hospital. And anybody who came across Bill knew that he loved his Savior, Jesus. What a blessing. What a testimony. I've been tasked with encouraging with God's word this afternoon. There's a few verses I go to each time I encourage in the scriptures at times like these, because it's very fitting. Thessalonians is the first one. There was a church family that had lost loved ones, relatives, family members, and they were grieving. And so these words were written to them. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. Notice, we're to grieve. We are grieving. But we grieve different. Listen to what it says. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring him with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another, comfort one another with these words. Isn't it a blessing that God's word can bring comfort and encouragement to us? Because we are hurting, we are grieving. In Corinthians, Paul would write and encourage those. He said, always be of courage, knowing that while we are home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. It says, for we walk by faith, not by sight, but be of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and be present with the Lord. And we know that Bill is present with his Savior. Jesus Christ would leave for his disciples words of comfort as he was about to go. I want to share those words. In John 14, Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. And where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going." I'm so grateful for Thomas, because he asked the question, says, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "Thomas, I am the way. I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." And later he would say, "Peace I leave with you, my peace." That's what we want today. We need his peace. We need his comfort. It was a true blessing Monday afternoon to go and sit down and partake of communion with this dear brother and Miss Gigi. We sat there together. We remembered his Savior, Jesus Christ. And as we partook of that, I looked in Bill's eyes. And there was such a hope, a peace. Because he understood, as the bread was broke and the cup was remembered, he knew that his Jesus had paid it all. His Jesus had made a way. And as we sat there together, we remembered that. And it was such a blessing. And likewise, he shared that, you know, his father did that, and the next day he went to be with Jesus. But he was at peace. We can be at peace too. And you know, I know Bill would want me to offer, if you have not trusted Christ, if you have not understood and received the gift that Jesus gave, John 3:16 sums it up beautifully, "For God so loved the world." Bill understood God's love. God loves so much, it says, that he gave his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Whoever, it's an open invitation, believes in him and what Jesus did, his payment and covering for sin, will not perish, but have everlasting life. Bill is truly, truly living now. Because he believed that. And I would be remiss not to offer it today. If you want to know more, please talk to the family. Oh, they would love to share. Talk with myself. I would love to share more as well. But at this time, we're going to close with, I was told it was Bill's, one of his, if not his most favorite hymn. And I am going to do my best, because there are some high notes in here that I really struggle with, so I really need you guys to help me out. But it is "How Great Thou Art." And you know, as we sing this, and we're going to do verses 1, 3, and 4, but as we sing this, it is a declaration, it is a cry of just how wonderful Bill's Savior Jesus Christ is. And I think it is a fitting way for us to close this time as we remember and celebrate his life and celebrate his Savior that allows him to truly live. If you would stand, it's hymn 147, or the words will be up here, but we are going to sing, "How Great Thou Art."
Oh,
We thank you for the life that Bill was able to live. God, we thank you that we can celebrate his life. And even though we grieve, God, we grieve different because there is a hope that one day we will see Bill once again in your presence. God, you are great. And Lord, we ask that you would continue to comfort as we grieve and we celebrate the life of Bill. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This time, if we could let the family be escorted over to the fellowship hall, and then the rest of you are invited to join. We have some refreshments there, and just share with the family. Thank you very much for coming. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.